This is a chemistry education lecture for this one students, and it's going to be presented by Gafausa Sande Josephat, a senior lecturer in chemistry at NTC Kaliro. I should begin by welcoming all the participants, and in this welcome I want to give four aspects as to the approach. One is that the strategy of online education is relevant in this era of the lockdown regulations or the standard operation procedures which have been put forward to minimize the extent of affection by the COVID-19 virus. Two is the need to be actively involved in the education process and provision of feedback. When we offer the lecture, we are also interested in getting feedback from you, the participants, so that we can adjust, we can adapt the mode of delivery to suit your desires or needs. Three, the approach caters for the wide coverage of the students, coverage as far as region, as far as districts are concerned, and these coverages suit the different locations the learners attend in their homes, they attend in their areas of living. Last is that it's very convenient and flexible, and learning can be at any time and unlimited by the framework of the timetable. That said, I would like to highlight the following resources as being vital in this process. We expect that each one of you has one, either a laptop or a desktop, or at most a smartphone where network availability is good for connectivity purposes. Two is that you should have an access to the SlideShare application, and this you can do by downloading from Google. It is free and the presentation is done in this application. You should also have a pen and paper to participate in writing or contributing to the activities that have been organized. The methodology adopted and techniques are basically problem-based learning and group demonstrations and presentations respectively. So having taken or having participated in the activities, if you're in a group, you could share your group in form of presentations and demonstrations before you can proceed. In this presentation, we expect you to develop the following competences. At student level, we want you to identify considerations you should make, or you should consider, or you should look into prior to conducting a chemistry lesson. You should also describe, or should be able to describe, the three basic aspects upon which chemistry education develops. You should be able to justify the role of content in science in general and chemistry in particular education. You should also be able to interpret the concern for competence-based chemistry education. You should also be able to outline the process skills in chemistry education, the skills that the education tends to develop. List examples of scientific attitudes which are characteristic for a scientist. Also, categorize the process skills according to the three broad domains. Those are but some of the competencies expected to be developed in this session. We begin with an activity. And this activity, you would answer the question, what would you consider important before conducting a chemistry teaching session or a chemistry teaching episode? Note down a few aspects you could consider in teaching, but before the teaching process, i.e. as you prepare to teach. 2, what are your justifications for the considerations above? So having made that note, 4, why should you consider these as vital? Make justifications. After which, you could consider in the next stage as a checklist. How far do you differ? How far do you agree with what I have proposed? Considerations, in my view, relate to the following. 1, the subject matter or the content you are going to teach. How is it suitable to the level of the class you are going to teach? How complex is it? And how relevant is it to the context? 2, the teaching learning resources to use. For example, textbooks. How available are they? Practical materials in the form of chemicals, apparatus, etc. Lab space. Do you have a lab in your teaching learning environment? Is the work you are going to perform requiring lab facilities, and so on and so forth? 3, support staff availability. Do you have technicians in place to support your activities? Do you have assistants as well? 4, the time availability. How much time do you have? Are you going to conduct a single lesson? Are you going to conduct a double lesson? How supportive is your timetable? 5, methodology to adopt or adapt. What type of methodology are you going to adapt? As we shall see, we have different teaching methods. But which of the methods are you going to adopt? Which methods or what adaptations are you going to put in place to make these methods suitable to your learners and other factors? Look at the learners. How are the learners' ability going to facilitate? How is the learner's ability going to facilitate the teaching learning process? The class size. How big is your class in the light of the methodology you are going to adopt and adapt? 7, you the teacher yourself. Consider yourself in the aspects like competence. Are you really competent enough to handle the chemistry subject matter? Preparedness. What is your planning? What is your preparation? Have you researched enough? Are you aware of your class challenges? And so on and so forth. These and many other factors should be part of your list you have so far developed. So in this session, we are going to look at some of these aspects, especially in the teaching and learning of chemistry. We begin with subject matter. What is subject matter? By subject matter, I'm meaning content. And this comprises of three aspects. One is the facts, concepts, theories, and principles that make up the subject. Two, the processes or the skills, which are operations of science and scientists' way of working. What processes are you going to develop, or is your lesson geared towards developing? Three, attitudes, which are the behavioral patterns and mindsets of your learners. So these three aspects support or provide what we collectively describe as subject matter. At this stage, we pause again and organize another activity where you are required to identify three reasons and or arguments for teaching facts, concepts, theories, and principles in chemistry. Just identify three. Then compare your reasons you have identified with the following I have tried to highlight, probably as a self-assessment exercise. I'm saying objectives and competences are constructed basing on facts, concepts, theories, principles that characterize chemistry. So these are guiding lines, guiding principles behind the construction of objectives and or competences. Two, facts, concepts, principles, theories form an appropriate and reliable criteria for developing effective methods for evaluating content achieved. So they form the basis for evaluation process. Three, facts, concepts, principles, and theories form a meaningful and reliable basis for selection of learners for different levels of education. These levels could be primary, it could be secondary, it could be tertiary, or even at university or colleges. We basically base on facts, on concepts, on the principles, on the theories, ideas someone has developed in the subject of chemistry, if we have to select him appropriately for a particular level. Last but not least, chemistry knowledge comprises facts, concepts, etc., which, if well organized, structured, and sequenced, leads to comprehensive ways of working, which are characteristic of chemists in particular and scientists in general. So these are some of the few rationales, some of the few reasons and arguments as to why we should base our teaching on facts, on concepts, on principles of chemistry. Let's try to look at the process skills we are trying to be interested in as we teach chemistry. These are categorized in three domains. We have the cognitive domain, which includes problem solving and critical thinking skills. Another domain is the affective domain, which relates to individual feelings, affection, and others. And three, we have the psychomotor domain, which relates to body movements and balance. There are certain skills you develop, like, for example, manipulation of apparatus. How well are you developed in operating or manipulating a particular apparatus or equipment? So the skill we relate or we require there is a psychomotor, lies in the psychomotor domain. Another pause for another activity. And this activity requires you to suggest a few skills appropriate for learners to develop through chemistry education in secondary schools. At the secondary school level, what type of skills, for example, would you be interested in developing through the teaching of chemistry? Classify these skills into the three domains above. So having noted down the particular specific skills, you do the classification of the skills into the three domains we have described. And what do you notice? What pattern do you notice, or what do you notice from your classification? Process skills which we need to develop through teaching chemistry or science include 1. Observation. By observation, we mean the art of using your senses. We have 5 senses: the sense of sight, the sense of smell, the sense of taste, the sense of feeling, and the sense of hearing. All these help us to observe the environment or observe what we are dealing with. We have manipulation of apparatus as a skill. We have classification, communication, which may be verbal, may be pictorial, may be graphical, or in chat form. Recording information or data is a skill. Predicting or being able to say what is likely to happen consequent to your observation or your study. We'd also like to develop the skill of hypothesizing or making tentative statements of what might be happen or might happen as a result of an action. Experimentation, the ability to manage or manipulate variables in an activity which is investigative in nature. Interpretation of the information. Analysis of experimental results or outcomes. Drawing conclusions. And many others. So these are basic, especially at the secondary school level of teaching, and we should always endeavor to develop these process skills into our learners. Also, we have an aspect of attitudes. But what are scientific attitudes? Scientific attitudes, as we have already said, are feelings, they are mindsets. And these evolve more often when practicing the scientific processes. These include curiosity. What is curiosity? We shall see. The ability to ask questions. The ability to develop interest in an occurrence, as we have observed it, is what we call curiosity. We have open-mindedness. We don't know at the beginning of the investigation, but we remain open to all occurrences. We are not biased by any prior knowledge, prior ideas. That is being open-minded. Patience is another attitude. Respect for others' views. Persistence. Cooperation or teamwork, team spirit. Subjectivity. Objectivity. Respect for available evidence. Reluctance to let decisions be influenced by personal emotions. Unwillingness to believe in superstitions and others. All these are attitudes. So these we should also develop or endeavor to develop while teaching chemistry at secondary level. As we teach chemistry, we are biased towards competence-based teaching and learning. That's why we are talking about competences. But what is this form of chemistry or form of teaching? We are saying that chemistry education is competence-based or geared towards the development of subject matter, facts, concepts, theories, and principles, as well as the scientific processes or skills and attitudes that characterize a scientist. So by competence-based approach, we are killing two birds with one stone. We are trying to highlight what concepts we are interested in, what facts we are interested in, as well as the process skills we are interested in developing, let alone the attitudes. Also, competence-based teaching endeavors are geared towards the development of a well-round scientist. So, as we move along, we should be highlighting, or we are going to be highlighting these aspects of chemistry. I thank you for your active participation.